Hey, I hope you brought a Bible, whether it's a hard copy, whether it's on your phone. Pull it out for me. I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be in verse 10. Go. Get in there right now. Get there quickly. Get there quickly. Get there quickly. I want to start off tonight. I want to read a portion of scripture together, and then I want to get into our talk, all right? So if you have it open, hopefully you're close. If you're not there, I want you to do something a little different. We haven't done this before. I want you to go ahead and stand up for me. Everybody stand up on your feet, all right? Good. Get on your feet, okay? Get your Bible ready. Get the verses ready. It's on your phone. It's on your hard copy Bible. Again, we're in Ephesians 6. Starting in verse 10, I'm going to read this, and I just want you to read along, but I want you to stand while you're doing it, all right? Here we go. It says this, Apostle Paul is writing, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Everybody say, schemes. Good. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore," say therefore,
"therefore,
take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having the readiness of the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication." I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you to agree with me as I pray for our night tonight. Will you do that with me?
Yes.
All right, cool. God, thank you that we get to be here. God, if we just came here and hung out, it would be great. But God, we come here for something more. We come here for your presence. We want to hear from you tonight. And so, God, as I talk, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just start working in this room right now. God, that as I'm saying things, God, I might be speaking with my mouth, but I pray that it's your words, and I pray you'd speak to students even right now in their minds, and I pray that there would be some incredible things that take place in hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Thank you so much. Hey, I missed you guys last week. I missed you. I was at a great conference, but I'm back, and I was so excited to see you guys. I just wanted to stand outside so I could see you all coming in. It warmed my heart. It was so wonderful. Hey, Tony started off our series. We're in a series that's called The Struggle is Real. Say, the struggle is real. Okay, it's end of school. Is the struggle real? Okay, you're probably getting burnt out. Is the struggle real? You probably want to be like, burn up your homework. Is the struggle real? Okay, the struggle is real. We're talking about a different struggle, though. We're talking about a different kind of struggle that it might not be like schoolwork or homework, but it's a struggle that is very, very, very real. Tony started off last week, and he talked about this idea of spiritual warfare, spiritual battling. Okay, warfare that takes place in the spirit, all right? You don't talk about this all that often in church, but you guys, it is so critical. It's so important because it's real. Tony said this last week. He said that even if you're not aware, even if you don't think about it, that doesn't mean that there's not spiritual warfare happening behind the scenes. Just because you're not aware to it, just because you can't see it with your eyes, just because you might not be able to touch it, that doesn't mean that there's not a spiritual battle taking place all around you. And just because you don't think about it necessarily, just because you don't see it, that doesn't mean that it's not affecting you personally. That doesn't mean it's not affecting you in some kind of a way. We talked a number of weeks ago about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life and move through you. I loved that series, by the way, and I know that a lot of you guys had experiences with the Holy Spirit that maybe you've never had before. And the Holy Spirit is a spiritual thing, right? You can't touch the Holy Spirit. You can't necessarily see the Holy Spirit. But he's very real, and he's very good, and he wants to do good things in your life. But on the other side, there is a dark side. There's a dark spiritual side. And that dark spiritual side is just as real as the good spiritual side. So we read Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, and this is Paul writing to a church, and he's writing to them, and he's saying, listen, there is a spiritual battle that's happening that's very, very real. It's very real. It's going on around you. And he's saying, listen, you need to be aware of this battle. Don't be clueless to the fact that there's stuff happening spiritually all around you. Understand. Know that this is happening. And then Paul gives us this glimpse into the spiritual realm. We don't know all that there is to know about the dark side of the spiritual realm. We don't know everything that there is to know. Just like we don't know everything that there is to know about God, but the Bible gives us clues. The Bible teaches us different kinds of things, and so we learn different kinds of things as we read through Scripture. And in this portion that we just read, Paul gives us this glimpse into the darker side of the spiritual realm. And he's instructing this church, and he says, listen, you need to watch out for the devil's schemes. Would you say schemes with me again? Schemes. This is a very, very important word. Words in the Bible are incredibly important. That word schemes, if you look it up in the Greek language, which is the original language that the New Testament was written in, it's the word methodoia. Say methodoia. That word should sound kind of familiar to you, right? Methodoia, it's where we get our word method. So Paul is saying this, watch out for the methods, the strategies, the tactics, the plans that Satan has, because he has them, and they're many, and they're varied, and they have one intention. They have one intention. That intention is to throw you off. An intention is to distract you. It's to discourage you. It's to get you every other place than where God would want you to be. Schemes. The devil has schemes. Here's what that looks like, you guys. It looks like this. If I am supposed to be standing right here, if this is where God wants me, if this is where God has me, he has me standing, he has me rooted in him, all right? I've got a vision for my life. I'm going places. If I'm supposed to be here, if this is where God wants me, where does Satan want me? He wants me as far away from this as I possibly can be, lying down, unable to get up, completely defenseless. But here's the thing, you guys. If I were to get another one of these boxes and put it right here, and Ryan Medford and I were to like fight, okay? How would he try to knock me off of this thing, okay? He might try to run at me and punch me. He might try to tackle me. Better yet, he might use a jousting stick and try to just knock me in the face and I would fly off, okay? All right? He'd use physical tools to try to get at me, all right? But the devil, Satan, doesn't use those types of things on us. Okay? The devil doesn't come at you and try to knock you off of where you're supposed to be with his fist, all right? He doesn't use a pole. He doesn't use a jousting stick. He doesn't use any of that stuff. He uses something far more dangerous, far more deadly, and far more destructive. He uses seeds. He uses seeds. That's a weird concept, isn't it? Seeds? See, the devil, Satan, he's a seed thrower. He's a seed thrower. And what that means is this. He uses seeds to try to get at a place in your life that you are the most vulnerable and where he can get the most equity in your life. And do you know where that place is? The place is your mind. Your mind is of the highest equity, because your mind controls so many things. Your mind controls your emotions, your will, okay? And if somebody can get control of your mind, well, they can manipulate you. They can get you to think certain things that aren't true. They can get you to go in a direction that's not right. And so all Satan has to do is drop some seeds in your mind and see what happens with them, and he can derail you. And he can get equity in your mind. And here's the thing. If he can get equity in your mind, then he's gained influence into you. He's gained influence, and he can do some pretty nasty things to you. I like watching boxing and MMA fighting. Anybody else like that kind of stuff? Okay. I like watching that stuff because it's just fun, okay? But everybody who watches this, and trust, like, you guys will agree with me. I hope you'll agree with me. you like to watch it for the cool like moves and the cool kicks, but we all watch it because we're waiting for that one moment when the guy makes a connection and the other guy goes down. Isn't that what we're waiting for? You're watching and you're like, okay, that was a cool move. That was a good, he took him down. Oh, it's cool. I don't just want the guy to like just get kicked in the face as hard as possible. That's just what I'm waiting for. When's that going to happen? Oh, it happened. Hallelujah. Okay, that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that because boxers, MMA fighters, they go for the head, right? Why do they go for the head? All right, they could go for anywhere else. They go for the head. Why? Because the head is where the knockout happens. Okay, the head can render you completely defenseless. The head will knock you on your butt, all right? So boxers, MMA fighters, they're going for the head. They want the knockout. Do you know what Satan wants, you guys? He wants the knockout. Satan wants the knockout in your life. So where's he going to go? He's going to go for your mind. He's going to go for your mind. Satan's schemes start as seeds. And these seeds come in different forms, and they're small. They come in the form of lies. They come in the form of fears. They come in the form of discouraging thoughts. And here's the thing about Satan, you guys. He's constantly throwing this stuff. He's constantly throwing it. He's just waiting to see what's going to happen. Is it going to land? Is it going to take? Is it going to take root, and is it going to start to grow? Because if so, then I've got a chance with this person. I've got a chance with them. Let me tell you how crafty and how incredibly bold Satan is. Do you realize this? He tried this same tactic with Jesus. Isn't that crazy? If I'm the devil, I would think if there's anybody I wouldn't want to mess with, it would probably be Jesus. But Satan messes with Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, we read about Jesus. He's on a big 40-day fast before he starts his ministry. And we read that Satan comes to him and he starts like throwing seed. He starts trying to plant these thoughts in Jesus' mind, trying to get a foothold. He's trying to get into his head. Trying to get some kind of way to take control. Hey, Jesus, if you bow down before me and worship me, then I'll give you everything. Hey, Jesus, you should go on top of the temple there and jump down because I hear that God says he'll save you. Lies, deceptions. And what happened? Jesus, seed didn't find any kind of fertile ground, right? Let me be clear about something, you guys. Satan does not like you. In case you were wondering. Here's why he doesn't like you. You have the power of God living inside of you. You have the power of God living inside you. He does not like that. He doesn't like that at all. You're a child of God. God's his enemy. He doesn't like that. You're God's child. Here's a big one, you guys. You have a purpose on your life. I'm not just talking, and a plan. I'm not just talking about that you're going to grow up and get married and have kids and that kind of thing. That's great. But God's got a very good, great plan for your life. God's put things inside of you guys. He's put things inside of you. He's put gifts. He's put talents. He's put passions. And everywhere you go, whether it's in the church, whether it's outside of the church, it doesn't matter. Everywhere you go, you bring a little bit of God's kingdom wherever you go. Everywhere you go, you bring a little of God's kingdom. And as you go on in your life, God wants to use that in so many different kinds of ways. Do you know who hates that and doesn't want that? Satan does not like that at all. And anything he can do to derail that, he wants to try to do. And he uses seed to try to stop it. I want to give you an example, an illustration of what this might look like. I'm going to have Ryan come up, okay? And Ryan is going to stand on this pedestal, all right? Ryan is Ryan, but I want you to just imagine that Ryan is representing all of us. He's representing you, he's representing me, and this is where, give Ryan a hand. Ryan's just awesome. Doesn't he look good just standing there? That's a fine specimen right there. Just a fine specimen. Ryan represents you, he represents me, all right? And let's just say, for example, let's just hypothetically say, for the illustration's sake, that standing on this pedestal is what God wants for your life. This is God's plan for you. He wants you right here. He wants you standing rooted in him, all right? He's got a plan for you. You're standing on the confidence that I am a child of God. I'm going places. Things are great. God, I'm following you. Hallelujah. Now, what's Satan gonna do? He's gonna start throwing some seeds. Hey, Ryan, you're a loser. Hey, Ryan, you've got no purpose. Hey, Ryan, people don't like you. Hey, Ryan, you're not going to make any friends at college. Hey, Ryan, God's disappointed in you. Hey, Ryan, you're not as spiritual as you need to be. Hey, Ryan, that thing you've been praying for a long time, yeah, it's not ever going to happen. Hey, Ryan, your parent who's sick, they're never getting better. Seed, lie, discouragement. Ryan, you're never going to get married. Hey, Ryan, you're better off dead. Seed. What lies has Satan been telling you? What lies, what discouragements, what deceptions does Satan speak into your mind? You ever been going along in your life and all of a sudden you'll just have this random thought about just something terrible, or you'll think something about yourself and you're like, where the heck did that come from? Oh, I hate that. That's Satan trying to drop seed in your mind. There'll be times when I'll just kind of be, you know, going on as normal, and all of a sudden I'll have this, man, just this discouraging thought about myself, and I think about it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, is that true? Because sometimes what happens is this, you guys, as Satan starts throwing these different kinds of lies, as he starts speaking this stuff to you, sometimes what happens is this, is that you actually catch it, and it doesn't bounce off, it actually stays here, and you actually hold on to it, and you actually start to think, maybe that's true. Maybe I don't have a future. Maybe I am a loser. Maybe I am ugly. Maybe I don't have a plan. Maybe I am a worthless person. Maybe I am better off dead. Maybe I'm not as spiritual as other people. Maybe I don't have a great relationship. And you hold on to the seed. And that seed, when a seed goes into the ground and it finds soil, do you know what happens to seeds? It's just biological, guys. It grows. It grows. And so now if it grows, guess what Satan has now? He's got some leverage on you. And now when he speaks that same thing this time, it comes with a little more power. It comes with a little more force. This time it's not like a little soft spongy ball that kind of bounces off you. No, this time it actually hurts. Sorry about that. Did not mean to do that. And as that gets bigger and bigger, if that seed is left to grow and it's left to grow and it's left to grow, eventually what happens is this. Now this might look kind of funny. This might be kind of humorous. And Ryan's down. He's okay, by the way. That was all staged. But I want to talk about something that's actually serious, you guys. There are many Christian students, and there's many students in this room who are in this position right here. You've allowed a lie from Satan. You've allowed a fear that he's planted in your mind to derail you from where God wants you to be. And when he's down like that, man, he feels helpless. He feels like, man, I just can't get off of this. I want you to think inside your mind real fast. I want you to just do some introspection. Do you, if you were to be honest with yourself, have you let something that Satan has planted, started off as a seed, has it come to this point where you literally feel like you're crushed by it? You literally feel like, man, I can't even breathe. I can't get away from this. I can't get away from this. There's some students in this room, as I was preparing this talk, I was thinking about it, and I thought, there's students in this room who are going through this exact type of thing. I remember when I was in middle school, there was a period in my life when Satan would throw in seeds at me of discouragement and different things about myself. And there was a point in time when I held on to those things, and I struggled with some lies he was feeding me. I struggled with lies, and I thought some pretty terrible things about myself. I remember when I was a little bit older, I went through a period of time where Satan had dropped some seeds of fear in my heart, fear of the future, fear of that somebody close to me was going to die, and fear that I was going to be left alone. And it wasn't just, you know, a lot of kids have fears. Oh, what if my parents die? Or what if, this was a crippling fear. This was a crippling fear that left me crippled down here. That's what Satan does. He starts off as seed, and he's trying to get that seed to land because he knows if it can land, it can grow. And if it can grow, he can get equity. And if he can get equity, he can throw you off of where God wants you to be. Guys, I'll tell you this. At FSM, we want every one of you. You can stay down, actually. We want every one of you. We want you to be in the place that God wants you to be. We want you to be standing tall. We want you to be standing. We do not want for you. We don't want what the devil wants for you. So the question is this: how do you defend yourself against this? How do you defend yourself against this whole scenario right here? How do you do that? Well, there's good news. Here's the good news, you guys. You can stand against the schemes of Satan. Let me say it again. You can stand against the schemes of Satan. Paul writes this. We read it when we first started our verses. It says this. Paul writes, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." That's verse 10 of Ephesians 6. That was the first verse that we read when we stood to read. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. If you have your phone on you or your actual Bible, you should mark that. Mark it right now. Just mark it. Highlight it. Just put a little note on it. Like, that is an important verse to come back to. Be strong in the strength of his might. Do you know what that means? What that means is this: Jesus gives you supernatural strength. Jesus has the ability to give you supernatural strength to combat the schemes of Satan. It's not something that we have. It's not something that we can earn or whatever. It's something that Jesus gives us, and he gives us the strength to do it. But many Christians don't realize this, and they live powerless. They live weak. They're susceptible to this because they don't know Jesus has the power, strength of his might. He's ready to clothe you. Paul then goes on in that verse, and we read it. He talks about the armor. He talks about the armor of God. Now, the armor is simply a metaphor. It's just a metaphor, okay? It's not literally like you're going to put a helmet on, all right? It's not literally like you're going to put a literal belt on, obviously, all right? It's metaphorical, but it's talking about how there's things that the Spirit gives us. There's things that Jesus wants to deposit into you and remind you that you have. And these are tools that are used to combat this. You put on the armor of God, not by manually putting armor on. You put armor on by faith. You put armor on by believing, Jesus, I believe, I trust that you've armed me with the belt of truth, so I'm going to stand in that. Jesus, I believe that you've given me the shield of faith so I can fight against, I can ward off the darts that Satan's throwing at me. I believe that, and God, make that active in my life and let that become something that protects me. I want to show you the difference that this makes. I want to show you the difference that the armor makes. I'm going to have Ryan get back up here, all right? And I'm going to have him stand up here. And again, he's representing you. He's representing me, all right? And this is where God wants us. This is where God would have us, all right? We're standing secure. We've got a plan. He's got a plan for our life. And where does Satan want us? He wants us everywhere but right there. And what's he going to use to get us off? He's going to use seeds. He's going to use doubts and fears. He wants to cripple you. He wants to get you off of there. But what happens? What happens when the armor of God is activated? What happens? What does it look like when the belt of truth is made active? What does that look like when the belt of truth is made active? What does it look like when the breastplate of righteousness? What happens when we have confidence and have faith that God, I believe that the breastplate of righteousness is there to guard me? What happens when our feet are ready with the gospel of peace? What happens? What does it look like when the shield of faith, when we say, God, I believe that you've given me a shield of faith and that I can ward off the things that the devil would throw my way? What does it look like when you have the helmet of salvation in place? What does it look like when you have the sword of the Spirit? What does that look like when you have the sword of the Spirit? What does it look like when you have prayers? What does this look like? What happens when the armor is on and I try to throw a lie, Ryan, you're not worth anything? What happens when, hey, Ryan, you don't have a great future? We'll try it from this angle. How about that? Ryan, you're not worth anybody's time. It's harder for those things to land, am I right? It's harder. It can't get in. What happens when the armor's activated by faith? It's very hard for those things to get in. It's very hard. But you might say this, but Zach, I'm a Christian and I believe in the armor of God, but I still struggle with this kind of stuff. I still feel like sometimes I believe lies about myself, and sometimes I'm discouraged, and sometimes I just believe this kind of stuff. Why am I not standing? Why do I feel sometimes like the devil's just like got me down? Shouldn't I have been protected? If I'm a Christian, shouldn't I just be protected by this? Here's my answer to you is this. Police officers, when they go into duty, they wear a bulletproof vest, right? Okay. They wear a bulletproof vest so that if somebody tries to shoot them, that they have a good chance of living because the bullet's going to reflect off. But just because a police officer wears a bulletproof vest, that does not mean that he is not going to get shot. Doesn't mean that somebody is not going to attack him. The Bible tells us this, you guys, in this world you will have tribulation. In this world, you are going to have spiritual battles. Paul writes it. It's just because you have armor, just because Jesus has given us this, that doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden just, hey, I'm not gonna deal with anything. No, but he's given us this to serve as a guard, to guard us. What can happen is, like I said, is that we forget that we have this. We forget. And Satan takes advantage of that, and then he keeps us down. If you're here tonight and you feel like you've been knocked down by Satan, if you feel like, man, I feel like Ryan. I feel like Ryan just laying over there, big lie right over me, big fear, big discouragement, just like, it's just compressing up. If you feel like that, I want to tell you this. The same armor that can protect you is the same armor that can heal you from the things that Satan has tried to plant in you. The same armor that can protect you is the same armor that can heal you, okay? Belt of truth is what combats lies. Shield of faith is what guards against fear and discouragement. Helmet of salvation is what guards against those things that Satan has tried to plant inside of you. And those things that maybe you have believed and you've held on to. The armor is yours. And Jesus is ready to arm you. He's ready to fix some of those parts that might be weak. So here's the great news, you guys. You don't have to be defeated when it comes to spiritual battles. You do not have to be defeated. Putting on this armor is a continual process. It's not something that, I've got the armor. No, it's a matter of every day believing by faith. Jesus, I believe that I have this armor. I believe that I can be protected by these things. Here's what I do, you guys. When I'm going throughout my day, if I get a thought, If I get a, if I sense, man, I feel like I'm just being lied to right now, or I'm having just a negative thought right now, or I'm having a really discouraging thought, or wow, I just had a really fearful thought go through my mind. Do you know what I do? I stop right there and I remember Satan's trying to throw some seed. And so I say, in Jesus' name, I will not receive that thought. In Jesus' name, I will not let that seed fall in my mind. I will not let that become planted. I will not let that have any chance of getting roots. I will not let that have any chance. You need to do the same thing, you guys. You need to do the same thing. And then I remind myself that I've got the armor of God. I've got the armor of God. I do not need to be defeated. I will not be defeated.